It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
From the Labatt Blue Studio, it's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience in Happy Valley. Andy, you and I have stayed there. You've stayed there too, haven't you, Kevin? Not a bad experience, Andy.
Good value proposition for the money for the weekend. Come up Friday, stay through Sunday morning. You don't fight the traffic. They shuttle you in and out.
Also get a complimentary Labatt Blue or Labatt Blue Light on that shuttle.
On that shuttle. And you can get one at the stand in the tailgate area. It seems to me like a good value proposition, even though it's just a bit outside of State College in terms of the town. It's really easy in and out. It makes it very convenient.
It's great not to have to worry about that driving in. And yes, the Labatt Blue on the bus, one or two on the bus on the way in, makes it extra special. All right. For more information, you can go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, gentlemen, it's time to look back at that Buffalo game one last time. And perhaps the statistic that stands out the most is time of possession. And here's the one for me. Rushing attempts. Buffalo 58 and Penn State 24. Which side of the ball you want to start on, Bob? I'll start with the defense stopping the run or the offense providing some rushing yardage?
Well, I think we said last week that the Buffalo game plan is going to build around their offensive line, which is very good. I think some of those guys on that offensive line have a shot to really play in the NFL. I thought there was a good offensive line. The running back was good. We learned that the quarterback was pretty good. He made some throws. He dropped some throws in the bucket when he did have to throw that were good. And they had Penn State rattled, I think, for about 30 minutes. The thing that struck me the most about the Buffalo game is what James Franklin said right after it about they do have a young team, and when you have a young team, the challenge is how quickly can you make adjustments in game. If you wait to make them till halftime, then you're going to run into situations like what you saw against a good Buffalo team that simply was very efficient and Penn State was inefficient. They've still struggled on third down. But once they were able to kind of talk about things at halftime, you saw the result in the second half. It's a problem. They still can't really run the ball well. But this team must learn how to make adjustments quicker as the season moves on, or when they start playing better teams, they're going to run into trouble. That's going to be one thing to watch against Pittsburgh. And in a couple of weeks, there's a Maryland team that's growing up very quickly that they had better be able to adjust before halftime. So to me, that was the thing that struck me the most. I think James kind of hit it on the head. You can see when they make adjustments and you can see when they don't make adjustments, and they're just not doing it quick enough now.
So I believe that Buffalo's offensive line and their running game was going to be good. I thought Penn State would push back a little harder. Like, if this defense was going to take an early first step forward, to me, I was watching to see, not that they had to shut down the run, but was it tough for Buffalo with a really good offensive line to run the ball? And for 2.5 quarters, I didn't think it was. I think they pushed, twisted, and shoved Penn State around like they wanted to. I thought the linebackers took a lot of bad angles in the run game in support. I saw some bad angles inside. I saw Micah. I saw Cam. I saw Jan. I saw all of them taking bad aggressive angles against the run game instead of playing good, smart linebacker play against an offensive line that was twisting and pushing your front. When the offensive line's not twisting and pushing your front, you can run a little bit more free. They didn't read that very well, and that's the other thing. And I kind of like the fact that in the passing game that they targeted Tariq, right? He's a good player. He really is. But he didn't get, like, torched or burned. They just went after him. They identified him as someone we're going to consistently go after. And I think it was a good sort of welcome to big-time college football and what, your fifth or sixth start, something like that. Because he hasn't really started a ton of games. But I thought the fact that he got like sort of targeted like that was good for him. I thought it was really good for him. So that's what I took away on the defensive side of the ball.
Here's another stat that I found fascinating. I'm taking over from Andy as the numbers guy.
Uh-oh.
In watching the game in real time, it looked like one of you used the expression that Penn State was getting pushed around a bit. Buffalo can do what they want running the ball. In the end, rushing per attempt.
3.2 or something like that.
Yeah. Only 3.2. And Penn State actually averaged 3.3 yards per carry. So was it really that Buffalo was able to run so well, or were they just able to – it seemed like if it was third and three,
correct,
they could run
that's
for 4 yards.
That's what it was. Their top two running backs did do some damage if you look at the stats. There were some other people that didn't – have as much success, and they definitely made some adjustments at halftime. I think moving forward, the thing that they're just going to have to get better at, I do think that it'll even out. You got to look at third down.
I agree.
I mean, either they're going to have to get in more third and manageable situations, or they're just going to have to – there was a huge drop by KJ Hamler in the second quarter that probably cost them some points. He was wide open on the sideline. That was only one play that they would have converted. But I think they're 3 for 17, and it's unsightly, and it's not conducive to winning football. James Franklin did talk about the fact that they do take a lot of shots on first and second down. When the shots don't take, you're going to be in third and long. It can be a little bit tough. But they have to find some balance, and they have to find a rhythm. And they're going to have to pick a running back, I think, at some point. James is talking about, well, if no one emerges, we're going to stay with four. I'm pretty sure that I think I know who their best running back is right now. I think they need to kind of pick him and stay with him. I don't think it's Ricky Slade.
Well, the interesting thing with and James Franklin in his press conference did talk about explosive plays, that the nature of the game has changed. The analytics of the game have changed. Whereas a few years back, you look at time of possession and you say, that's important. Now, the way the game's played, and specifically the way Penn State plays the game, it's not that. The more important statistics are how many explosive plays did you have and turnovers. Those are the two much more important statistics. And if you're playing this style, I believe Penn State, and Kevin, you have the better memory, I think, than the rest of us here. It seems like in the Franklin era and Joe Moorhead era, I guess I should say, there's been plenty of those games where Penn State has lost the time of possession but win the game because they have the big plays.
Yeah, as an Eagles fan, it was Chip Kelly that first kind of turned my eyes to time of possession being really irrelevant, especially because some of that time is, you know, you're standing there waiting for the clock to snap. So, no, it's not the most important thing in any stretch. It's really those explosive plays that put you over there, the chunk plays. And those do tend to come in the second half because you're rotating so much, you're fresher.
And you're also, if Penn State is playing that way and Buffalo – watching the game real time, they had the ball all the time. Yeah. So as a Penn State fan, it's like, oh my goodness, we're getting blown off the field, and they drive 80 yards and kick a field goal, and then two plays later, Penn State scores a touchdown.
Time of possession is only relevant anymore, and that's why James Franklin mentioned it early when he got here. The 4-minute offense to close out the game. That's when you want to be efficient with running the ball. That's when you want to control the clock. If the other guy can't stop you and you have a 4-point lead, if you can do that at the end of the game, I think that's really the only time that time of possession matters.
And that's something they need to work on. All right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. This segment is brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the ultimate RV experience. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. Andy, I want to ask you about one of your favorite players, which is Sean Clifford.
Sure.
I think he did everything you could ask of him.
Well, I thought out of necessity, because the way the first half went and the way Buffalo sort of controlled the tempo and made it more their style of game than the kind of game Penn State won, it was – I think Ricky had to sort of open up and hand the game to Sean and say, okay, we're not going to be able to toe-for-toe sort of go tit-for-tat with this team. We're going to have to open it up and see what you can do. Kid threw 4 touchdown passes. I mean, I just thought
maybe the biggest play was that long run that he had.
Yeah, I thought Pat Freiermuth
took the fourth and two play to Freiermuth. I thought really yeah. was. I know the interception was big, but Pat Freiermuth is now a man.
Yeah,
I think he's got 11 starts, 10 touchdowns, and I just don't know how you match up with him. He's fast enough so that if you put a big person on him, he's just gonna kill them. And if you put a little person on him, he's just gonna body him. Penn State has not ever had a tight end like him at this point in his career. I mean, he is just a fantastic player, and James even singled him out for his blocking. He's going to be a handful the rest of the way if he stays healthy, and Pitt's going to really have a hard time matching up with him as well.
As accurate as a thrower as Sean Clifford is in that zone where Pat Freiermuth can do the most damage, that's a lethal combination because, you know, Sean's really good at throwing in rhythm and on a target in that inside of, you know, 15-yard range. Get Pat the ball and let him do it. I mean, career high in catches, career high in yards, tied his career high with two touchdowns.
How about the wheels on the 216-pound quarterback? I mean, I when he said 4-5 to me in August, I was like, but I mean, if it's not 4-5, it's close. He can once he gets striding out, he can move.
He's fast enough. I do want to go back to the comment you made about their running backs, Bob, in that you don't believe Ricky Slade is the guy. I'm going to take a guess that you think Journey Brown is, but how do you know it's not Noah Cain or Devin Ford when they each only got one carry?
Right. So I just think that James talked about the – I think that you would have seen more of those two if the coaching staff felt better about them. I think right now Ricky Slade is I think he's pressing. I think that he's a little frustrated. He's got something like 8 carries for 17 yards, and I think he's been a little bit impatient. He's also – one of the things I need to add – if he was almost 210 pounds in spring, and now you look at the roster and now they're listing him under 200 pounds, he looks like he's a little bit on the small side. Journey Brown looks like he's running with authority to me. He always hits the hole. He gains yards moving forward. He's retained his speed. I think that he's consistently been the guy that's been able to make plays and break tackles. I think he deserves – a longer look other than the two for Ricky, the two for Journey, one for Noah Cain, and then maybe the next time around they try and get Devin Ford involved. I think there's a little bit something to be said for getting a rhythm as a running back, and it might be hurting Penn State right now.
And in a game like that one where those four backs had a total of 11 carries, 11 among the four of them, that's where you're going to run into trouble with that for running back committee. All right, that is it for quarter number two of our show. Stick around. Next quarter, it is going to be Ask Bob and Andy. Stick with us.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.